You want to read, it's power packed. Amen. I want you to notice the different times that men seemingly run out of their probationary opportunity in the 13th and 14th chapter of the book of Luke. Amen. Starting the very first part of the 13th, he said, there were present at that season some that told him the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifices. And Jesus answering said unto them, suppose ye that these Galileans were sinners above all the Galileans because they suffered such things? I tell you, nay. But except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. Are those 18 upon whom the tower of Siloam fell and slew them, think ye that they were sinners above all men that dwell in Jerusalem? I tell you, nay. But except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. Amen. It seems that there is the possibility set forth here tonight of people going beyond repentance. Amen. He says, repent, or you will likewise perish. What if they had repented in time when God's grace was knocking at their heart door? I tell you that people that sit in church time after time after time and reject God and reject Christ and don't pray but presume on God. Amen. The Bible says you'll perish. You know what the word perish means? It means to die. And sometimes a violent, awful death, like these Galileans upon whom Pilate had mingled their blood with their sacrifices, and those 18 upon whom the tower of Siloam fell. Just a few months ago, as I was traveling up to Brother Callicott's, I got the news brief over the radio in my car that they had had an explosion in Oklahoma City at the federal building. Amen. Well, needless to say, I was glued to my radio for all the time I was traveling up to Brother Callicott's meeting. Amen. And when I went in, I had got enough news to know that there were many deaths, that the federal building had been blown up, and immediately the United States was put on the alert, and they were looking for a Muslim perpetrator. They were, in fact, they did stop one and have him brought back that had traveled. We knew for sure, amen, that they was at it again, that they had got to us again. We didn't realize it was one of our own red-blooded Americans, amen, that had set off the terrible, awful explosion that took almost 200 lives. Suppose ye that the 200 in the federal building that day were sinners above all? Nay, I say unto you, some of them were just babies. Some of them were just toddlers that they carried with bloodied faces from that building. I tell you, nay. But it was a beginning. It was a portent. It was a signal of awful things to come in the history of the United States of America. Which one will be the one that will start the big explosion? Which one will be the one that will trigger the Holocaust of all Holocaust? Amen. There'll be one sometime, just like the explosion in the federal building on the anniversary of the burning of the David Koresh, the Davidian compound in Waco, Texas. Suppose ye that the several over 100 people in the Davidian compound, best I remember, over 100 people, I may stand to be collected on that. Amen. Died with many little children. Suppose ye they were sinners. Above all, I say unto ye, nay, but except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. There is the sad portent in America, amen, that multiplied thousands of people are going to split hell wide open right from a church pew. And that's the worst place in the world to go to hell from, because you know better when you go to hell from a church pew. Amen. Multiplied thousands are going to go to hell from the pulpit, like the prophets and the priests that Brother Hughes preached about a little bit earlier. Amen. I used to go to the Voice of Hope Missions. The old Nazarene brother that run the Voice of Hope Missions that sat in a wheelchair in Kansas City tapped me God's Minute Man, because I always got to the meeting 2 minutes before church to start. Amen. They'd already got them in off of the streets. They'd already gave them donuts and coffee to wake them up and keep them awake while we preached to them. That's the reason they gave them donuts and coffee. The donuts were donated by a donut factory, and the coffee was donated by somebody else. Amen. And the Voice of Hope Missions was full speed ahead, as far as I know, still is. Amen. But they told me that that man sitting over there said he used to preach in a big church. Amen. So I went over and talked to him after the service and shook hands with him. And I was just curious. I said, "What got you, brother?" And he looked at me with a little bit of a guilty smile. He said, "A woman." Amen. There he is, right off of Skid Row. One time pastored a church. One time had the souls of men in his hand. Amen. He's not the only one that's rolling on Skid Row from the pulpit tonight. There's a bunch of them, folks. Amen. It's a disease that has swept the land. Great God Almighty. Amen. Oh, yes. It's a terrible thing to be lost in the house of God. As a matter of fact, that's a worst place to be lost. Amen. Remember how that in the book of Jeremiah they found the book, under one of the kings, they found the book, amen, lost in the house of God. Amen. Buster Wilson preached his classic message all over the United States of America, and some grabbed a hold of it and preached it after him. Lost in the house of God. Amen. He told about those boys that he had run with when he was a gangster on the streets of Paducah, Kentucky. Amen. He told about being shot, knifed in the head, and how he came home bleeding like a stuck hog, knifed in the head. Amen. And the artery in his temple was gushing blood every heartbeat. Amen. But how God gloriously saved him and brought him out. How he went to visit some of his old cronies in jail, and how that they got saved. And after they got saved, said, "I never heard anything like this before. Why didn't somebody tell me?" Amen. Why didn't somebody tell me? Amen. It's terrible to be lost behind prison bars where Bonnie and Linda and Sister Keith, our sister, Jones, amen, and all of them goes once about ever 2 times a month or more. Amen. It's terrible to be lost in prison, but it's even worse to be lost right in the house of God. Amen. You're not fooling anybody, you're fooling yourself. And nobody is so deceived as the man or woman that deceives themselves. The biggest fool in the world is the man that deceives himself. Amen. Amen. He said, "Except ye repent." Amen. Why didn't they repent? It seems that there comes a time in people's lives that they go so far that they no longer have the ability to repent. I'm not drawing the line on anybody. I'm glad I don't have that kind of a job. I'm glad that's heaven's task tonight. Thank God it's not my responsibility. I believe where there's life, there's hope. I cried out to God when I didn't think there was any hope. I was going to church. I was singing in the choir. I was teaching a Sunday school class once in a while. I was 15 years old. I had got saved when I was 14. But I loved the world. And I was trying to do what a lot of young people are doing tonight. I was trying to hold on to the world with one hand and onto God with the other. And God wouldn't play second fiddle to the world. Amen. God wouldn't let me do it. God wouldn't allow me to put him second place or just give him another place in my life. He wanted first place. As I continued to rebel against God, still going to church, still teaching a Sunday school class once in a while, still singing in church, amen, still testifying once in a while, amen. But I didn't think anything about going to the show. I'd already gone back to the show on Saturday. Amen. I didn't think anything going to the pool hall where the drunks and the lower class sinners hung out. Amen. I didn't think anything about going to the skating rink. Amen. What's wrong with going to the skating rink? Amen. Well, you're in the wrong crowd. That's the main thing that's wrong with going to the skating rink. I didn't think anything was wrong with going to the bowling alley. Amen. That's the wrong kind of situation. I'll tell you something tonight. If you live for God like God wants you to, it's a full-time job. You can't have any side tasks. Amen. No, sorry. Amen. If you add to your faith virtue and to your virtue knowledge and to your knowledge temperance and to your temperance brotherly kindness, amen, and you learn all you can learn and pray all you can pray and practice this heavenly addition and heavenly multiplication, it's going to take all your time, and you still going to be behind if you get started late, particularly if you get started late. I remembered my Creator in the days of my youth, but I was frivolously throwing away my precious time. God had a destiny for me, and he has one for you. And you'll not find it, amen, stirring out of the altar. You'll not find it stirring out of church. You'll not find it backsliding between youth camps. You'll not find it backsliding between revivals. Amen. You're going to have a made-up mind to serve God. And I repeat, it is a full-time job. Amen. And God won't play second fiddle to the pleasures of this world. Amen. Glory to God. I'll tell you what, you better take this world in small doses and far apart, because you got a full-time job on your hands living for God. Amen. You'll still come to the judgment if you're not careful, ignorant of the plain commandments of the Word of God. Amen. There's people that have heard me preach for 19 years. I've preached the gospel here for 19 years and preached things over and over again, and they still haven't got it yet. Amen. You're going to run out of prerogatives after a while. You're going to run out of chances after a while. Amen. You think you can dilly-dally around and get by with God? Nay! But except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. Amen. Yes, amen. These were religious people that Jesus was talking to. He said, a certain man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he came and sought fruit thereon and found none. Then said he unto the dresser of his vineyard, behold, these 3 years I come seeking fruit on this fig tree and find none. Cut it down. Why cumbereth it the ground? Amen. If you're not going to bring forth fruit, and incidentally, amen, we got some young fruit trees up there in the back part of the a church property back there that we planted about 5 years or 6 years ago, 4 or 5 years ago, and they're bearing fruit now, some of them are. Amen. They're bearing more fruit than they did last year. And they're supposed to bring forth more fruit next year than they did this year. Amen. Don't we expect fruit trees to bring forth fruit according to their age up to a point? Amen. But what if they don't bring forth any fruit? Amen. Cut them down. That's just exactly what I'm going to do with a couple of them up there. Amen. Because you see, when we got those fruit trees, they was grafted into a sign. S-C-I-O-N. That's a stump, if you please. Amen. Usually they graft them into a more hardy stump. Amen. And that bears the whatever brand of fruit that you're going to have on your tree. Amen. But in the case of some of them, something happened and the main graft died off. And out came the sign, the stump, the graft base. Amen. Came on up. The far back apple tree back there hasn't had an apple on it hardly. Amen. It is just as old as the rest of them. Amen. It was the sign. I just let it go. I didn't have anything to replace it with. I thought it surely would bring forth some kind of fruit. I let it go. I didn't take the saw to it. Amen. I thought I'll give it a chance. I've given it years, and it's still not bearing fruit. You know what I'm going to do? Amen. The first time it comes handy and I find something to replace it with, I'm going to cut it down. If I was good at grafting, I'd graft one of the good ones into it. Amen. I'd do like Brother Coates told about them doing those grapes in California. Amen. They'd cut back those big old vines, and then they'd graft in a vine right into the top of that big old healthy vine. Amen. And they'd raise grapes. I mean, it was great big things, almost big as plums. Amen. The secret was they grafted that small vine into that big stump. Amen. And that full root system went to that new graft. Amen. First chance I get, I'll cut that thing back. And if I knew how to graft, I'd graft one of them good apples into it. Anybody knows how to graft could help me out a little bit. Amen. But you know what God's going to do if we, year after year after year, fail to bring forth fruit? We sit in church year after year after year and don't do better and think we're getting by. Don't fool yourself. God has a replacement for us. Amen. And He's going to do it. Amen. These 3 years I come seeking fruit on this fig tree and found none. Cut it down. Why cumbereth it the ground? And he answered and said to him, let it alone this year also, till I dig about it and dung it. Amen. And if it bear fruit, well. If not, then after that thou shalt cut it down. Amen. Amen. Paul spoke in the 4th chapter of Philippians about the church's offering to him that David Miller preached about last Wednesday night, and how that Paul didn't desire it for himself, but they may have fruit to their account. The only reason for our existence is to bring forth fruit. But money is the easiest kind to bring forth. Amen. That is for many so-called Pentecostals. Amen. some of the charismatics today, boy, they will give money. Amen. But let me tell you my opinion about a lot of them's giving. It's conscience money. Amen. They've got a guilty conscience. And if the preacher won't get on their worldliness, boy, they'll give money. If the preacher won't get on the way they're living and the things that they're enjoying in this world, boy, they'll give money. Amen. But that's not the only fruit that God's expecting. That's one of them. Amen. And a very important one. It's just this simple. If you want God to bless you financially, you're going to have to sow financial seeds. Amen. But you need some love, some joy, some peace, some gentleness, some meekness, some patience. Amen. And some hope. Hope that maketh not ashamed. Praise God. You need some faith. Hallelujah. You need to bring forth all the nine fruits of the Spirit. Amen. I've known a lot of folks down through the years that was heavy on gifts. If you didn't believe it, amen, just ask them. They'd tell you. I've had them tell me I'm speaking tongues anytime. That didn't impress me one bit. Amen. I saw a man on the airplane. He was reading an Arabic or Hebrew newspaper. Amen. And everybody knew he couldn't read it, but he was acting like he was speaking in tongues, reading it. I believe you better be very careful about making mockery of the things of God. I think you've carried it a little too far when you drag the Holy Ghost into your folly. Amen. I believe that sometimes some folks are having such a hard time is because they've got too many Holy Ghost jokes in their fun. Amen. I don't believe in that stuff. I believe in a good humor. Amen. And most of us have more fun by accident than the world has on purpose. Amen. We don't have to tell no lies to have fun. In church, we got enough things that really happened, amen, to tell, to laugh from here on till the rapture takes place, amen. And certainly we shall, amen. But I think we need to be careful about how we laugh at that manifestation of the Holy Ghost. Amen. We may run out of prerogatives after a while. While I was pastoring a church at Middletown, I was called up to a little bait shop right across the street practically from Manchester School, where our kids went to school, there in the back of the church, just off Titus there. Amen. The lady that ran it went to Grace Baptist Church. Brother Howard Sears Church. Amen. And she said, I've got to talk to somebody. She said, I can't talk to my preacher about this. She was a member in that church, sometimes taught Sunday school in that church. But she said, I feel like I've committed the sin against the Holy Ghost. Amen. And I'm prone to be careful when I preach like this, because most of the time, the folks that need it, it slides off of them like water off a duck's back. And that poor little old defeated child of God that's going through mental depression, they'll grab a hold of it and apply it to them. And they'll say, Brother Collins, did you mean me? No! Amen. I don't mean nobody in particular. I'm warning everybody, however. Amen. She said, I'll tell you how it happened. Amen. Said, years ago, there were a revival on Crawford Street in Middletown. And she said, we heard about the revival and said we'd go and look in the window and watch them shout. And we'd make fun of them as they shouted. And she said, I went with them and watched them as they worshiped in that great revival on Crawford Street in Middletown. Amen. And she said, we went home and we was making fun of what they was doing. And I said, "Old sister so-and-so," she shouts like this, and I danced around in the middle of the floor, and I mocked the way she talked in that service. And she said, "Something happened to me." Amen. She couldn't shake it. Now she's a middle-aged woman going to a Baptist church. Can't even talk to my pastor about it. I tried to convince her that she had not committed the unpardonable sin. Amen. But I just wasted my breath. Amen. Over and over and over again, it came back to haunt. It came back to taunt. Amen. I went back in Eldridge, Missouri, having a revival, trying as hard as could. And those were people of God, and they believed in fasting and praying. I was staying with Brother Virgil Waterman, and he had 8 children, and people would bring in stuff to eat. Do you know how far 2 loaves of bread goes with 8 children, hungry children? I mean, you could turn around twice, and the first thing you know, there wasn't any more bread. 2 loaves of bread. I mean, Sister Carl and I, we have a hard time eating up a whole loaf before it molds, because we just eat that much bread. But we're not as hungry either as we was back then. Amen. And I stayed with Brother Virgil Waterman, and he was a man of God, and he'd fast and pray 2 weeks until people would get ashamed of eating while he was preaching every night and fasting and praying. And I heard one sister say down in Batesville, Arkansas, that she just couldn't eat with Brother Waterman fasting by himself. Amen. She wouldn't let him fast by himself. Amen. Those are people of God. They believe in seeking God. But there is a segment in the church that had drifted into the world. That carnality had taken a hold on them. And they were fighting and they were divided. And there was schism in the body. That's a dangerous situation. Where you have a group of people that have sought God and walked with God and talked with God. And they know God and they've seen God move. And then there's a few, about half the church, young and old alike, are carnal. The world has crept in, and they're fighting. And I was there in the midst of it all. Amen. It's a dangerous, explosive situation to having seen so much and then backslide so far. Amen. Oh, God. I went back one night to invite a young lady to the altar. I felt led to invite. She just laughed at me and kept chewing her gum. Amen. She laughed in my face. She was laughing the next morning, and she told the young people on the school bus how the preacher came back, tried to get her to go to the altar, and she was still laughing and cutting up about it. Amen. The next morning. It wasn't too long. Just a few months until that girl, Brother Waterman told me, met her untimely death without another chance to give her life to God. And I was the last preacher that invited her to the altar of repentance. Amen. Here's what happens many times in church. People look around and say, "Well, I'm just as good as some of them up there. No use of me going up there and praying." Yes, and you just fumbled one more probationary opportunity to pray. Amen. You just justified yourself and your sins because of what somebody else is doing. Let me tell you without mincing words, if you go to hell forever because of what somebody else did, you'll be the biggest fool in hell as far as you're concerned. Amen. It'll be nobody's record but mine. Nobody's record but mine. I'll be the only one have to face it. It'll be nobody's record but mine. In the last analysis, you'll not stand in the judgment for me. You'll stand on your own 2 feet. Your own 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20-year-old feet. And you won't be able in the judgment, look at me, listen to me, to blame nobody because you went to hell. Amen. There won't be one hypocrite that you'll give a second thought in hell. It'll be that last altar call for repentance. Amen. If it bear fruit, well. If not, then after that, thou shalt cut it down. Amen. I can tell when some of our people are cut off, they're just like a Christmas tree. They try to decorate the corpse. Amen. You cut off a Christmas tree, you start decorating it, don't you? Amen. You decorate it most generally after it's dead. It don't do you no good to decorate a living tree out there in the yard. The wind will blow your decorations to the four winds, and that tree will outgrow it, and it'll slap your decorations this way and that way until finally you haven't got any. Amen. No, you decorate a dead tree. Amen. I saw one of our Pentecostal girls the other day at a funeral from one of our churches with lipstick on. That's where it starts. They put a little thin coat of lipstick on. Amen. And they start clipping a little bit here and then a little bit back here. And the first thing you know, they ain't not got enough left for anything. Amen. They've got these boys, you know, they got an earbob in their left ear. I always heard, you know, that left was right and right was wrong. That if you was had an earbob in the right ear, you know, that you were kind of fruity. All the way through him. I saw one the other day with the ear bobbing both ears. I wanted to kick him and tell him to be a man. Amen. But you can tell when they're dead, they begin to decorate the corpse. Amen. Oh, yeah. You got to paint that old pale corpse up to keep him looking green. So you put some color on his lips and you put some rouge on his cheeks and you put some makeup on his face so he won't look so bad. So when folks come around and say, that looks just like Mama, look just like Dad, just look just like my daughter. Amen. You ought to see what's underneath. Amen. Yeah, boy, I mean, our Pentecostal women, they'll go further than anybody. They'll wear shorter shorts. I remember when I first saw the first man in a pair of shorts that I could remember of in about 1955 in Valley Park, Missouri. Amen. Walking around in a public place with a pair of shorts on. It reminded me what a Jersey cow would look like with a pair of shorts on nowadays. Amen. It's bold. You're in style to look stupid. I mean, you don't just wear your hat on straight like you got good sense. You wear it backwards. Amen. Oh, yeah. Amen. The more today, the stupider you look, the more in style you are. Amen. Oh, yeah. Oh, you can tell when they're dead, they begin to be more interested in what the world thinks and what the church thinks. They're more interested in how they look in the eyes of the world, how they look in the eyes of the church. Amen. Hey, God said He'd beautify the meek with salvation. That'll satisfy you as long as you're saved. Amen. But if you're not saved, it won't satisfy no more. Amen. Glory to God. God said, cut it down. When God cuts it down, ain't no use to put any paraphernalia on it. Don't deck it out with regalia. Don't put 15 strings of beads around its neck. Amen. Don't waste your beads. Don't waste your jewelry. Amen. It's gone to waste on a dead tree, on a corpse, if you please. Amen. Most sinners have got a little bit of respect. Amen. The fellow's doing some work for me the other day. Amen. And I said, you're welcome to go down and use the church garage if you want to. I said, you'll need to put some breeches on. He said, oh, I said, I got breeches in the car. He brought them. He knew that he might have to put breeches on. Amen. because he's going to be working around the preacher's house. And you know what? Before he worked up the house there for a good long while, several hours. Amen. And before he started to work, he got in his van and changed his clothes and put breeches on. He brought them for that purpose. Him, a sinner, with respect for the house of God. Most sinners got more respect than some Christians have. Amen. Me and I believe Brother Randy Jones was up to Kansas City working my house a few years ago, and we decided we'd go down to the old congregation that I pastored on a Wednesday night and just happen in. Amen. I went down there and drove in the parking lot about time people ought to start gathering for church, and people had covered the whole front steps of the church like they was going on a picnic or an outing, and there wasn't a one of them but what had shorts on. And drove around the other side, and there was another whole bunch of them. Randy was with me. Amen. And they all had shorts on. Finally, a car drove up, and a lady got out, and she was decked out like Jezebel and walked in the church. We turned around and decided we was in the wrong place. They wasn't going to church anyway. Amen. A lot of these family worship centers are not worship centers at all on prayer meeting night. Amen. Oh, brother, the church has gone into the recreation business. Hey, we don't need recreation to keep people in church. Amen. We have a little once in a while in a clean and godly way because we enjoy it. Amen. For our young